Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host. Christ, hang on. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, sorry, I've just started recording a podcast. So who's calling?
Oh, sorry, maybe I've got the wrong number. I'm calling. Is that the Blood Club?
Yeah, I'm just recording. We're recording the Blood Club podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that makes some sense. Everyone has a podcast these days, don't they? I was calling to see if the event scheduled for the 14th is still going ahead.
I'm really glad you called. We were having some issues with the sprinkler system in the ceiling.
Right.
You know, because blood coagulates quite a lot and gums up the works. Yeah. And
tell me about it.
We weren't really getting the flow going, but I've had a man come in and he's had a look at the rig in the ceiling, and I think we're looking good. Yeah, it is going ahead, and I tell you what, it's going to be a rip snorter. The vampire community, they haven't seen anything like this, I can tell you.
Well, I was wondering, the invitation, it says plus one, but it's not clear whether that means I need to bring another vampire or a human. I wasn't sure. Usually it's made clear. Is it prey or friends?
It's lucky dip. It's, you know, choose your tipple, whatever you fancy. So okay. That's what we, you know, the vampire community at the minute, we're pretty chilled. You bring a vampire pal, they're going to enjoy the sprinkler. If you bring, you know, a cow, aka a human,
yeah,
then,
yeah,
you know, well, that's pudding.
That's great. Okay, and just one more question I had, because the tickets are quite expensive. I just want to be assured of the security, because I am... Listen, I've been to a few of these before, and I'm aware that someone whose name I don't want to mention.
He who must not be mentioned.
He who must be not named.
I'm not talking about Voldemort.
That's he who must be named. That's he who must not be named. But he who must not be named. Yeah, he who must be not be mentioned.
He who must be not be mentioned. Yeah. You know who I mean, don't you?
That's Blade, right?
Out damn spot. That's like an actor saying Macbeth.
I don't want to bring him down on the party.
No, listen.
I just wanted to check because I'm a little concerned. I was thinking I might bring some friends to this party, and I don't want to be responsible for them showing up and then potentially being murdered. I mean, we are immortal, and so being murdered is kind of more of a bummer than it would be if you were a human, to be honest. I think in some ways you've got more to lose, haven't you?
Well, you say that. Why? Why'd you say that?
Well, because, you know, the thing about humans is that they're going to die anyway, so it's a shame if they die sooner rather than later, but it isn't like news, you know, it's over one way or another.
But
whereas
we can
for us,
die. We can.
Well, we can die, but we don't die of older. Basically, we don't die of older. We don't die unless we're killed, right? That's
the
problem.
I mean,
so
if
one way to live as long as possible would be to avoid parties where he who may not be named or he
mentioned.
Who not may be named or mentioned could show up. I'm just saying, I think it's, you know,
well, that's the
it's
choice.
A reasonable question. What's the security situation like?
First off, we've lived so long, we're so jaded, we don't even really appreciate, you know, the normal things in life. The reason why I set up the blood club, the parties, is because how can you get a thrill when you've seen as much as we have, right?
I was actually only turned a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah, you're going to see things that you hadn't even dreamed of. Secondly,
right, yeah.
Okay, now we've got this secret system, right, where we put a big giant glyph outside that only we know about. Now I'm assured that he who must not be mentioned is familiar with what those glyphs mean. And that's an assurance I think you can take to the bank. He doesn't
Wait,
see
he's
those.
He's familiar with them.
I'm pretty sure he's not. I'm pretty sure he's not familiar with
them. Oh, he's not
them.
Familiar
yeah,
with
no,
them.
Yeah, no, I've been assured he's not familiar with them. So, and so there's that. So he can't find where the blood club is. And also, you know, we've got some thick doors. Okay. And he always dresses the same. So anyone the door, my bouncer guys, they're not letting him in. I don't even know how he would end up getting in.
Hey, can I ask you, how many kills have you done?
At my age, you lose all track. You don't even see it as kills. It's like having a drink. Right. How many pints of beer have you had?
Yeah, no, fair enough. Okay. It's quite fun, isn't it? That's the thing, they don't tell you about it beforehand. You think, well, that's rude. But now I'm into it. I'm thinking, yeah, this is delicious. This is fantastic. It's like the best thing I can compare it to is like being a human being and being really, really addicted to sugar or heroin or something, you know. But the consequences of engaging in your addiction as a vampire is actually just feeling better and stronger, being healthier and living forever. You know, it's sort of like a completely broken system.
No, but we can't eat food. I know we haven't established that in this universe, but my understanding of vampires in other vampire films, they don't even like human food, and all they can ingest is blood. And you do get a bit sick of blood, you know?
Really? Do you?
You do. It sort of sits heavy in your tummy and you feel all bloated. And I tell you what, I'm not saying I have set up this blood club with a view to getting killed by he who must not be mentioned, but I wouldn't mind it.
Right.
You know, hope you come along. It'll be fine. It's going to be a lovely event, lovely affair. And
okay, yeah, no, I'll be there for sure. I'll be there. Oh, by the way, you forgot to ask my name.
Oh, sorry, what's your name?
Blade.
Yeah, very funny. All right.
I'm just kidding. It's Jeff.
Adam is the host now. The dynamic works better when Adam is the host. Adam prefers to the host. And Joe prefers to the participant. It's better overall when Adam is the host, and Joe is the participant. Let it never be spoken of again. The ghost. 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 The ghost.
Sorry, just interrupted there. Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host, Adam Richmondo, a.k.a. Adam Richmond. This is the show where we chat about the movies or films we forgot we'd even seen in the first place. And joining me on that mission is my co-host, it's Mr. Joe Devine.
Well, hello there, Adam. Adam, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well. I'm very excited to be doing this flick. It's not a flick I forgot. But you're very good that you let me sneak it in on you.
Of course, I forgot how we arrived at this, because I'd never seen it before. This was my first viewing. But no, it was your default film at the end of me not getting you out on five, right? So we're doing Blade. We did Blade. We watched it.
On today's episode, we are doing the 1998 Wesley Snipes vampire flick, Blade, directed by Stephen Norrington.
Wow.
And everyone knows Blade. He's a Marvel character. This film was made well before the Marvel movies that you are so familiar with these days. I'm not saying that to Joe. I'm saying that to the audience.
That one is so familiar with.
But it was written by David S. Goyer, who would go on to write the script for Batman Begins. And he also did The Dark Knight. His old did David S. Goyer. I'm not going to read the letterbox blurb. I'm going to read my DVD cover.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. No, I like that. And then I'll read the IMDb when you're done.
It's bloody brilliant. Snipes is sensational. Extraordinary effects. News of the world. No longer of this parish. They had to shut down because of phone hacking.
Where do you think they heard that when they were hacking someone's phone?
Top notch. Maxim. Humour, guns, high octane set pieces, and a techno soundtrack. Wow. Neon, that was one of my favourite film magazines back in the day.
Where's the Playboy review?
Enough blood to refloat the Titanic, Sunday Mirror. That's not a review. That's just a commentary about how much blood is in the movie. Excellent. That's also from Neon. Genuinely thrilling. genuine.
That's quite confusing, isn't it? Because what are they saying, that if they used all the blood that was in the film Blade and they put it in the Atlantic Ocean, that it would raise the shipwreck of the Titanic from the floor of the... Because the thing is, blood and water don't mix, do they? So the blood would sit on the... It would sit on the water's surface. I mean, it would eventually thin and perhaps disapparate in the sun, but it wouldn't have any impact on the wreckage of the Titanic, would it?
Well, the Sunday Mirror disagree. The Sunday Mirror are putting their journalistic integrity, suggesting that it would actually be enough to refloat the Titanic, actually.
Right. Well, I guess we'll never know, but I mean, I feel like that is somehow a misleading statement.
Maybe hyperbole? Just hyperbole, a bit of fun. Genuinely thrilling from Blast. Never heard of them. Genuinely. Uh-huh. Impressive visual effects, says Time Out.
Right. That's cool.
They've really run out of steam.
That's because they usually review theatre. So when they see a film, they think it's amazing. They've never seen anything like it because people can't recreate those sorts of visual effects on the stage.
Yeah, I would say they're better than impressive for the time. A blood-chilling, action-packed thriller about modern-day vampires unlike any previously encountered. Wesley Snipes is Blade, the ultimate vampire hunter, an immortal warrior who possesses the superhuman strength and cunning of a vampire, but shares none of their weaknesses.
Now, he's not immortal, is he? He's not immortal.
Oh, no, he's not.
They say that in the film, so I'm disappointed they've written that on the DVD case.
Yeah, Whistler says he ages. Able to walk by day and stalk by night. You always stalk by night. Blade must confront his ultimate adversary. The omnipotent vampire overlord, Deacon Frost. He's not omnipotent.
And he's not really the vampire overlord either.
He's just some schlub.
What have they done? What are they writing on the back of this DVD case?
Deacon Frost, Stephen
Dorff. Is this a genuine DVD? You didn't buy this. This isn't a dodgy DVD.
No, this is the one. Deacon Frost, who is intent on leading an underground legion of vampires to conquer mankind. Blade must use his awesome powers and razor-sharp weaponry like never before. It is exactly how he's always used the weapons. The annihilation of the entire human race. Added value, trailer, deleted scenes, cast and crew, stills, text and sound bites, special effects, designing Blade, behind the scenes, 51 mins. The running time is 115 mins approx. And this is a PAL. It's an 18, suitable only for persons of 18 years and over, not to be supplied to any person below that age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Hey, you know Deacon Frost?
I thought
they should have just let him use his real actor name. That sounds scarier, doesn't it? Stephen Dorff, you know? Is that the least scary name you've ever heard in your life, isn't it? Stephen Dorff. Wesley Snipes. If the character of Blade was called Wesley Snipes, I'd think, yeah, that's a cool name for a superhero, you know? Stephen Dorff is the least antagonist name I've ever heard in my life. But
he looks like a Stephen Dorff.
He looks like a Stephen Dorff. He looks like a Stephen Dork. You know, that's the problem. That's one of the problems. But anyway, the IMDb here. A half vampire, half mortal man becomes a protector of the mortal race while slaying evil vampires. That's weird, isn't it? They've used vampire twice and they've used mortal twice. And they've described the mortal race, that's how they're describing humans, as the mortal race. It's interesting, isn't it?
Can we kick off with something?
Is it Stephen Dorff?
No. This film, it means a lot to me. And I just want to say one thing to you.
One thing. I saw a conquer, something, something, sold out concerts, right? That's what you're saying? That's what I always think when someone says one thing. What is the one thing you want to say to me?
Some motherfuckers always be trying to ice skate uphill.
No, I've heard that somewhere
Some
before.
Motherfuckers always be trying to ice skate uphill. Okay.
Now, let me dissect that. Some people that have sex with mothers, those people, when they wear ice skates, they try to ice skate up a hill, and foolhardy they are, they should just stay having sex with those mothers instead of trying to ice skate up a hill. I hope they're not doing both at the same time.
You know what a motherfucker is. It's not somebody who literally fucks their mothers.
Well, no, not their mother, just mothers. Not their mothers.
Motherfucker doesn't mean you fuck anyone's mother. It means you're an arsehole.
I would say, no, I think, yeah, no, it does, but the origin of it, do you think the etymology of that is that you are the mother of all fuckers, or that you perhaps, because, you know, it's sometimes it's considered rude to insult other people's mothers, isn't it? And actually fucking them can be a big insult to their children. So is that, maybe it's, they're saying to you, you are a big insulter. Well, the word, but this is according to the Wikipedia article for motherfucker. The word dates back at least to the late 19th century. In an 1889 Texas murder case, a witness testified that the victim had called the defendant a goddamned motherfucking bastardly son of a bitch shortly before his death. A later Texas court opinion from 1897 prints the words motherfucking in full.
Like you say, it could either be you're the mother of all fuckers, like you're a fuck, you're a motherfucker, you know, you're not just any, you know, or you fuck people's mothers. Oh, you shouldn't do that.
No, and actually, a lot of the time when people say the word motherfucker, they mean it in a fond way, with fondness, you know, like, hello, my motherfucker.
I don't really say the word motherfucker, to be honest.
I say it.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of the time I start a phone call by saying, what's up, motherfucker?
Yeah, sure. Fair enough.
But I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's a good one. Why are we talking about this?
It's just because it's one of the great lines of cinema.
Oh, of course. The ice. They always try to ice skate uphill. Now, you love that line, don't you?
But not just me. Everyone. Like, as someone replied to my Letterboxd review, said, yeah, with one of the greatest lines of all time.
Right.
There's something very odd about it.
There is.
It's not immediately clear.
Yeah.
It's not a mainstream one-liner. It's not, get to the chopper, consider that a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, one of the Arnie lines.
Or other Arnies.
All the Arnies.
Yeah.
It's not like a James Bond quip. No. It's just beyond that. It's almost like jazz. It's a jazz one-liner. Because
yes.
you double take, and it's just like, we can keep coming back to it. And then when he says it, you're like, oh, you get it. If you get that line, if you lock into that line, you get Blade.
Right.
You love this movie.
Within that line, it contains all of the nuances of the Blade franchise.
Yeah, it's like the mosquito in Amber in Jurassic Park. If you get that, then you get this movie.
Right.
Right? There's something else, like this
push,
film is...
Push, little one, push.
This is another reason why it was great to rewatch this, because I'd forgot what odd little details that there are in the film.
Yeah.
So, like, going back to the blood rave, it's also got one of the great opening sequences of all time, the blood rave.
Yeah.
And there's a moment in that where Snipes... like pins a guy using his like stake gun.
Yeah.
And he does a little fist bump and he goes, yes, that kind of fist bump. You can imagine Ryan Reynolds doing that in Deadpool, and it's naff.
Mm.
When Wesley Snipes does it, it's perfect. And there's loads of these little moments in this flick that just make it so special.
Yeah.
But what did you think?
Oh, I liked it. I think I'm going to struggle in this conversation when you describe things as, like, you know, one of the best openings of all time. I think that, you know, I really enjoyed the way the film opened, and I felt excited, and it drew me into it.
I can dial it back and say one of the great action movie openings of all time.
One of the great action movie openings, yeah, for sure. What I will say is that it's evident that, you know, when you watch a film and a film has a genre, and you've seen many films from that genre before, so you have some understanding of what to expect, some understanding of where the story may go, some understanding of the tone you might expect, and also maybe slightly less conscious, but some expectation of the standard of writing. Blade transcends those expectations. It's very obvious to me that within the genre that Blade is a part of, it is better than other films, right? It's like, it's obvious within the first 20 minutes, this isn't shit. And when I'm watching an action film, that's pretty rare, to be honest. Most action films I watch them and I think, yeah, this is shit. that's not why I'm watching it. It's fine. I'm watching it because I want to enjoy the action, or I want to, you know, passively pass the time, or there's a few bits of it I like, or there's some great music, or there's a really great sequence. When I watch this film, I go, oh, this is a good film that also happens to be an action film. So I respect it for sure. And as I said at the beginning, I'd never seen it before. It's also made at quite a specific time in history where I think it's drawing from inspiration of films that have come before it in the early 90s and the late 80s, but also is kind of on the verge of entering, you know, a slightly more modern era of film as well. It's sort of drenched in lots of things that I normally don't like about films. It's drenched in an aesthetic that I normally don't enjoy. But it really worked for me in this film. I felt that there was some sprawl and scale to the world that Blade was in. I really liked the little lines between him and his friend, Chris Christopherson.
Whistler.
Yeah, Chris Whistler.
It would make sense if he was actually called Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, it would, yeah. Him and his friend Chris Christopherson, where Chris Christopherson, who part of the function of his character is to explain to Karen, the heroine, what's happening, you know. So he says to her, we sort of go around the country fighting and killing vampires. He makes a comment that they've arrived in this city and they've set up base in this cool little, you know, abandoned factory or whatever. So I feel the sprawl of the film. I like to imagine, oh, Wesley and Chris previously were in a different city and, you know, they're kind of traveling, they're nomads, that this is their life, this is their lifestyle. There's something very fun and big about that, and it allows me to see this film as a snapshot in a moment rather than the whole universe for these characters. So that's a starting point. I know it's very close to your heart. I'm not just being nice. I thought it was a good film.
That's great. It's fantastic that you said that this film is of a particular time, because I think the time is very important. This film comes out in 1998.
Yeah.
A whole year.
A whole year before The Matrix.
Your favourite film before The Matrix.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally.
This film predates The Matrix by a full year.
Can I tell you something I wrote down in my diary, please?
Yeah.
Okay, Blade. The aesthetics, the way the guns shoot, the buildings, the colour, the way they have water reflect off and dance off of all the metallic surfaces. It's all very The Matrix. It is the proto-Matrix.
They've got a bit of bullet time. It's obviously not as good as The Matrix did with bullet time, but they do bullet time.
They do it.
The Hong Kong action sequences, the wire work.
Yeah.
Stephen Norrington, he'd go on to direct one other film, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which ruined him. Sean Connery apparently was horrible, and the studio was, and it absolutely destroyed the man. He walked away from filmmaking. That's it. He's done. There's two movies, one of which is one of the great debuts, I think, of any film director, and then some, you know, studio horrible debacle. Who knows what he could have gone on to make? It's one of the great what ifs for me.
I do think The Matrix is better as a film. But I will say that I was very pleasantly surprised to see lots of what I think must be clearly direct influences in Blade. I think The Matrix have taken, with more money, have taken on some of those ideas and built on them. But I also think it's not just, as you say, like some of the mechanisms, some of the action, some of the way that it's done. It's the aesthetic. It's the setting in which the action takes place. That is all I can see, you know, very closely influenced by this film. And that's what those elements are, some of the bits that I love about The Matrix. So I very much respect seeing them here.
Yeah, and like The Matrix has gone sci-fi with it.
Yeah. Whereas this is rooted in a world of fantasy.
Right. Yeah. I hate that word.
Fantasy. Ooh. Yeah, do you know, I was talking to my wife about this the other day. We were talking about the difference between sci-fi and fantasy, and I was trying to remember the story that we were talking about.
The Matrix is fantasy as well, though, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Well, fantasy, this is sci-fi. So this is kind of my point. You're sort of joking to try and wind me up, but yeah. This is true. You know, I think too often when people say sci-fi, the kind of consensus understanding of that is, oh, they mean space, or then mean like modern technology film set in the future. And when you say fantasy, that you mean swords and sorcery, or maybe something like, you know, vampires. Although I think monster fiction is kind of, you know, has its own place as well. It always bothers me that fantasy, sci-fi and fantasy is often put together in bookshops, right? There's like, if it's a small bookshop, they have one section for sci-fi and fantasy. And I'm sure there's probably like a fairly big, you know, middle of the Venn diagram between the audiences of those two genres. But there's also some ardent people on either side that, you know, where never the twain shall meet. And I feel as though often both genres, and I would extend this to The Matrix, but probably not to Blade. I'd be curious to hear about what you think of this. Use these settings, sci-fi probably more often, to explore complex ideas. Right? The history of sci-fi is using an alien-like setting to explore concepts, sometimes, well, actually often political concepts about the world that we live in. Fantasy uses fantastical settings or sometimes historical settings to explore generally like interpersonal relations, like those sorts of themes. So you think about Lord of the Rings, for example, it's ostensibly a battle between good and evil set in this, you know, fantasy and somehow also historical world, but really it's about the themes of love and friendship and togetherness and unity. And to a certain extent, you could argue that the book is also about the mass migration of people to the cities and the Industrial Revolution. But lots of sci-fi, particularly sci-fi that comes out of the Soviet Union under communism, for example, are critiques of you know, the contemporary political issues that these people were living in. But they're disguised in futuristic or space-type stories in order that the authors don't get in trouble with the people that are running the countries they live in. So these genres, these types of fiction, they serve to explore the very ideas that I think are at the heart of what people talk about in popular culture. But because they've got wizards dressed up with canes, or they've got Blade in a fucking leather jacket with a gun, or they've got whatever, you know, a man on a spaceship, they're somehow relegated to be next to the young adult section in the bookshop, and therefore like not worthy of the same kind of I don't know, a reverence that normal novels that are set in the normal world that are about logic and rationality and people murdering each other are. I find the whole thing very, very frustrating. The reason I don't extend it to Blade completely is because I'm not certain that Blade is really exploring anything apart from like having a fun action time, whereas The Matrix, I think, is doing that. But you tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
I love saying here's the thing.
Yeah.
Blade, throughout the whole movie, is constantly telling Karen, you need to wake up. There's a war going on that you are don't even... There's a whole world going on, right? You're in your little fantasy. There's something that's really happening underneath the surface. That's The Matrix. The right. Matrix is wake up. There's something going on here and you're not paying attention.
Sure.
It's just different dressing.
Salad dressing.
Salad dressing.
Yeah.
There's bloody dressing. I obviously immensely prefer Blade Matrix.
That's fine.
They're both so po-faced, which is what I respect about both of them. They mm-hmm. both commit. They've got the complete tone. The worlds are just perfect bubbles. But the everything that The Matrix pushes, it pushes the action.
Yeah.
And the action is probably better in The Matrix, fair dues.
The story's simpler as well, I think, in The Matrix.
But it also pushes, though, the kind of the worst aesthetics of Blade. Like, it really pushes the leather.
Right.
And yeah. the dancing.
It's kitschy a little bit, right?
Yeah. It's also just when you see a film. I saw Blade.
You saw Blade first.
I saw it first. I saw it on a double bill in Hemel Hempstead with Ronin. I came out. Me and my pals, Spencer and Brooker, we came out of Blade, like, walking on air. We'd never seen anything like it. We were so pumped.
Whoa,
we were doing...
I'm walking on sunshine.
It was Stand Whoa. By Me, you know? It's like we'd gone on this journey to see sure. a dead body.
Yeah.
But really, we'd just gone to the cinema to see...
See several hundred dead bodies.
Anyone who hasn't seen... Like, if you got a double bill Ronin with Blade... You know, always.
You simply have to. I've never seen Ronin. Never seen it.
Bonjour. Nice sweater.
Do you know something else I liked about the film Blade?
Yeah, no, keep telling me things.
Here's the thing I liked about the film Blade. It's really complicated. The story's quite complicated. It's the story is like, I would say, two layers more complex than it would be in another action-type film. Similar, right? And that's why I said its story is more complicated than The Matrix. What I like about it is that we've got our main antagonist, Stephen Dorff, okay? That's the name of the main antagonist, or the actor, Stephen Dorff. And he's not all the way up there, is he? He's not all the way up there in the baddie vampire council, because what the film does is it very cleverly kind of reveals to you after the opening scene where Blade busts up this blood club night where all the vampires have gone nightclubbing and they're sort of they're feasting on some humans they've brought along. There's a sprinkler system full of blood. It looks a lot like it's going to turn into an orgy before Wesley Snipes comes in and cock blocks everybody in the room. And the next scene, you see Stephen Dorff, who is clearly the arbiter of this nightclub. The arbiter? No, the arbiter.
The architect. He's the not architect, the arbiter.
Yes, my bad.
Although maybe he is. Maybe he says yes or no to who can come in.
I think he kind of did do that, yeah.
No, you can't come in.
No, you can't, Jeff, no. He was the architect of this nightclub. You see him being summoned, brought along to a high council of vampires, all of whom are old and sort of, you know, they're wearing business chic clothing and they look like they maybe originally came from Europe, you know. He appears before them and they're sat there, they're all very corporate and business-like, and you can see that they don't rise to emotion very quickly, which I think that's a really interesting, already an interesting fabric to hang this fantasy world around. They summon him in and they calmly explain to him, this is the reason why we don't have mass gatherings. We've agreed to not do that with the local politicians. So the film reveals to you at this stage that, wow, okay, the leaders of the human world are aware of vampires. There are these ongoing deals that have been made. You know, we don't gather in big groups. You know, we maintain small numbers. You have this sense of like history, and there's some, you know, there's a depth
conspiracy.
Of there's a conspiracy cabal. There's a depth of detail here that again gives the film some sprawl and makes it feel as though it's set in a world that is very established. And here's Stephen Dorff, our film's antagonist, who doesn't give a fuck about that shit, right? He wants to bust stuff up. Not only is he the antagonist for Blade, he's also the antagonist for his other vampire friends. And then another layer, okay? They start, you know, these old vampire guys, this council of elders, they're getting kind of pissed off of this young guy, right? They want to ignore him. They want to be calm. They want to be corporate. They want to be everything that they wish to express themselves as. But they're getting a little snippy. You know, and Stephen Dorff says to them, this world is ours. You know that. There's nothing they can do to stop us. We should do whatever we want. And the older vampire says, you're not even a real fucking vampire, guy. You were turned. Everyone around this table, we were all born vampires. You were turned. Yeah, it's like you're a second class citizen here. Oh, introducing some isms into the vampire world. Never seen that before. Love that. Very, very interested in that. Very interested in the notion that you could be born a vampire. He's new money. You're like, you're fucking nothing, man. We've been around for thousands of years. Both of our parents were vampires. There's something very kind of ideological about it, and something very rooted in the history of all conflict in the 20th century as well, right? There's something that feels very ironically human about these sorts of differences. And that's 20 minutes into the film. So already I'm having to pay attention to follow, which isn't true of most action films. There's a kind of depth of level within the characters. There's a jump for me to understand who these people are anyway and how they relate to each other. The film doesn't hold my hand through these moments. And then there's a beautiful fabric revealed that's kind of an incentive or a motivating driver for the antagonist, which whilst I don't think the antagonist is exceptional in the film, I do understand why he does the things he does. And I feel somewhat sympathetic towards him as well. He's not completely, you know, cut and dry evil in the way that lots of other antagonists in a film, action film from 1998 would be. That's why I say it's complex, and I like that about it.
Yeah, Dorf, he's not a great actor, but he's quite good as a petulant knob in this. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did you... I consider myself pretty pretty smart when it comes to watching movies. Like, I think we'll be seeing this character again. I think this will happen again.
Yeah.
Now, I would have seen this when I was 17. I certainly didn't see this reveal coming. You're watching it with your fresh young eyes, but you're not that young.
No.
Did you expect to see Blade's mother again?
No.
Yes, mate. It's good, that, isn't it? Come
and
on.
And actually, I realised when I see her again, I've already seen her. The film has shown her to me. The film showed her coming out of the pod earlier.
Yeah.
And I just didn't make the connection that she's the very same mother.
Very fleetingly.
Very fleetingly.
You know, you see more of her body than... You know that he's with a sexy young woman.
Sure. And I thought at different times, but hang on, isn't he with the blonde woman? Maybe he's just with everyone. Maybe this is how vampires work. They're all polygamous vampires, you know?
Oh, Who wouldn't want to be a vampire? The amount of they just fuck everything.
Well, and monogamy surely can't work if you're immortal, can it? On that note, let me ask you something, okay? When you watched the film for the first time, did you expect that Dorf's sidekick, Donal Logue, as Quinn, did you expect in every scene that they were together that Dorf was about to rip his head off at any moment and just never did?
I don't think so. I remember thinking that Donal Logue being a nice, spicy, comedic addition to the flick.
He is. He's funny. But it seems as though he is like, in other films that I've watched like this, he, as the kind of funny guy who keeps fucking it up or whatever, he is the sacrifice that the main bad antagonist makes to indicate just how evil and angry he is, you know? And the way that Stephen Dorff looks at Donal Logue throughout the film is as though, you know, he does that stuff where he like almost fake laughs along with him, where you expect suddenly he's going to whap off his head or something. Every time those two characters are together in a scene, I'm just sitting there waiting for him to destroy the other. And it never happens. Very confused. I wonder if they meant that.
I think, again, it's like the film does these little inversions on what you'd expect. Mm-hmm. Stephen Dorff isn't going to operate like those stiffs, the High Council. He's not punk rock, but let's say he's punk rock. He's not going to be that, like, oh, let's kill the henchmen to show the other henchmen that I'm the boss.
Right. That's old stuff, man. You don't do that anymore.
No, he just wants to kill humans. Mm. But what was I going to say? It doesn't matter.
I was born a vampire. As was every other member of this house. But you, Frost, you were merely turned.
The world belongs to us, not the humans. You know that. You may wake up one day and find yourself extinct.
Let's talk about Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
Because I think this is one of the... There's a few examples, but this is, I'd say, the example of a role that can only be played by one actor.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ever see anyone play Blade. People were talking about Black Panther. Uh-huh. Could only be played by Chadwick Boseman. Now, maybe it's just because I don't know the character or the comics of Black Panther.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't got any stake in that, pun intended. Mm-hmm. But for the... I've never even read a Blade comic. I right. couldn't give a fuck about Blade. But the character feels like he's nailed it. And the idea that there is any other actor who could do it is... It just seems laughable to me. They want Mahershala... Ali has been lined up to play Blade in a new version of Blade for like 5 years. It's this right. long-running joke in Hollywood. They keep coming up with all these scripts for it. Mm.
He'd make quite a sensitive Blade, I think.
Yeah, it's Snipes, man. It's only Snipes. I just don't, you know. Do you think anyone else can do this?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, I think Snipes is great in it. I think he's very good in it. And I can understand why you might think he completely inhabits the character.
Do you think someone else could play Neo?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone else could play Neo as well as Keanu Reeves does in my eyes, because I like the original films. But were I to be a young... If they made a good Matrix, a remake, and young people saw that one before they saw the other one, and they had someone in that they liked who was... who's the Keanu Reeves of the next generation? I don't know.
There isn't one. Why are you so agreeable? Don't...
I came to this podcast in an agreeable mode. No, it's one or the other. Listen, if you want me to be dogmatic, then you're going to start to hear things about Blade that you don't want to hear, okay? I'm in an agreeable mood.
I look forward to that section.
I've come here purposefully to be agreeable. Like, I have no interest in tearing down what you think is the best film of all time, because I respect your opinion, and that you think Blade is the best film of all time, I respect that, and I can sort of see why you think that's the case. Hey, did you know?
I don't think it's the best.
We haven't got time to discuss that. Did you know that Michael Jackson's Bad, the music video, starred Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, I remember that.
You do remember? You remember that? Do you?
I was just to speak to more to Wesley Snipes. I watched the Deadpool versus Wolverine film in the cinema.
Is Wesley Snipes in that?
And I think it's now safe to say they bring back Blade, and I had no idea that they were going to do that. And
they actually bringing back Blade.
They bring back all kinds of other characters from other. Yeah, they pull them all. Like it's.
But who played Blade?
Wesley Snipes.
Oh, he was back. He's back. He played Blade in the film.
Yeah, and it was very. It's kind of brief, but I got ludicrously overexcited at that, and I was just super pumped just to see. He looked quite old, and he looked quite feeble, and it was actually quite sad.
Yeah.
But just seeing him back as Blade, I like the idea that you could do a Blade film in what now is a series of Marvel movies that are for teenagers. I also think is laughable. Like, this is an 18. The blood flies. You know, it's a vampire movie.
Yeah.
They haven't made a 15 certificate, even a 15 certificate Marvel movie. What's the point in making a Blade movie if you're not going to make it at least a 15?
They haven't made a Marvel movie that's a 15.
No,
really.
I'm saying that. Go on. What? Find one. Like okay. since Iron Man onwards, Iron Man to Avengers Endgame. They were all 12s.
So that's Iron Man.
This, like, Blade, his mum tries to fuck him. You're not having that. You're not having that in a new Marvel. Like, they're not gonna have like, oh, your mother died long ago, Blade. Let's get down.
Yeah, I did find that. I thought that was interesting. That was an interesting choice. The incest bit.
Yes. Saucy.
There are Marvel movies rated higher than PG-13. So, Deadpool and Deadpool 2 were rated R. Logan was rated R.
That's Logan's not a Marvel movie. That's a Fox movie. These are all Fox.
Oh.
So,
but are they not Marvel characters?
You've half pulled my pants down.
I don't understand. They're not made by Marvel. Oh, they're non-MCU. They're not Marvel.
They're non-MCU.
Cinematic Universe,
so,
I see.
Thanks, but I'll take it. I'll take the pants have been partially pulled down.
Got it. Because I remember that was interesting, wasn't it, about Logan, was that everyone said, that was the first one, everyone said, oh, you can't make a rated R superhero movie. No one will go and see it. And then it made $70 million in the opening weekend. And people said, oh, you can do this then. So maybe they could make Blade.
But then they also then didn't do it. But I mean,
well, they did it with Deadpool. I mean presumably Logan was the precursor to Deadpool.
I don't think that was the precedent for it. Or maybe it was.
Well, I mean, it literally was the precedent. Maybe it wasn't in the way that they were thinking about it. But I'm sure that the studio who made Deadpool, a film that is rated R, and is also a comic book movie, were interested in the financial results of the only other comic book movie to ever be rated R.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe you're right in that regard.
Oh,
I think maybe they are that thick and they just look at those metrics. I think because like Deadpool is a completely different proposition to Logan. If I was a Hollywood executive, I wouldn't go, well, these are like for likes.
No, but isn't this a good news for you? Doesn't this mean that in theory, if they made a Blade film, that it could be rated R because there is precedent for this? Although
he now firmly belongs to Marvel and he would exist in this,
MCU.
He would exist in the MCU, as they call it.
Well, what's the point then, eh? Because Blade's just, it's super dark. You can't have fun Blade, yeah? Blade just, I mean, the only way to do it, I think, would be to have other fun characters play off of him. So, for example, Blade as Mahershala Ali or Wesley Snipes or whoever, Blade would show up, they'd fight, and then he'd say something like, you know, hey, this some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill. And other Marvel characters would say, what? What are you talking about? And Blade would always have a great line that was a little bit more complicated than the other lines. And people would have to play off him as though, you know, he was kind of a sort of confusing character. That could work. That could work from
quips of like Blade. Yeah. The reason why he works is
he's not funny. Yeah.
He's not funny.
No.
There's no irony. There's no quips.
No, he actually means that about the ice skating.
Yeah. He's deadly serious. He's very glum. He's very glum in this. He's very glum in Blade 2.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually say that much. He doesn't grow as a character
right.
at all.
Well,
he's not existentially troubled by anything.
Yeah.
He just wants to kill vampires and fucking get them. And he does.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, there's no nuance to the character.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe what Blade could bring with him to the MCU could be love interest characters who are sort of very instantly ready to accept a vision of a new world that they didn't previously know existed and are ready to take up the mantle of being heroes almost out of the blue. Or could bring along like love interest characters that had seen their ex-boyfriend be mutilated and murdered by a monster that they didn't know existed, but the next day just be able to sort of act as though nothing had happened and be, you know, sort of totally ready to accept this new reality that they previously didn't know was there. And also they're kind of turned on by Wesley Snipes and they're into this thing and they don't really know why Kris Kristofferson's there, but he seems okay. And they're willing to just, you know, immediately accept this reality that they previously didn't know was there.
It feels like there's a criticism.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because like the idea that you've got a bloke who is walking through his normal life and then suddenly gets told, oh, actually, you're a battery and your body is in this wasteland in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get torn from your this regular reality into this horrible wasteland. And then you land on a dirty, grubby ship, mm-hmm. and you've got a big port in the back of your head, mm-hmm. and you have to eat gruel.
Right.
You'd just be like, yeah, no, let's crack on. I can do this. As if you wouldn't just have a complete breakdown and see, no, wait a second. Mm-hmm. You had your bit and you would just, as if you would be able to carry on functioning. No, you'd just collapse. So
can I go now? Know,
yeah.
That's no, not I'm really done. What happens in The Matrix, though, is it? Because Neo, in the beginning scene, we learn he's been looking for the answer to the question for a long time. He knows that there's something out there. He knows that the reality that he lives in isn't the real one. He's already ready to accept something new. And there are many, many montage scenes that show the length of time it takes him to accept his new reality. There's even in the text conversations between him and Morpheus about how it can be difficult for the human body to accept the new reality. There's the moment where he's being unplugged for the first time and he wakes up in his human body and his body is being covered in gold. The description of the problem in that moment is that his brain is trying to cling on to the reality that it previously knew, and that's why this is happening to him. Okay, so it's very, very different from Karen just waking up the next day and going, oh yeah, fine, no big deal, everything's different now, all good.
I mean, it's just a function of storytelling. You got to crack on. She's not the main character.
It's a bad bit of the film. It's a bad bit of the film. That, listen, you said earlier you were excited to hear what I had to say about the film. That is one area of the film that is not well done.
It's not bad because I don't want to see her, like, I don't want her slowing down the story at all.
Okay.
It's a good bit of the movie.
Okay. So it's not about, the movie isn't about believability. The movie is about enjoyment. And that would be boring and take too long. So just get rid of it and everyone accepts it.
No, it's good storytelling because you fill in, you don't need to see a montage. You just fill in the blanks. You're like, okay, she's a blood doctor. She's been bitten. She goes through, she's saved and then she goes back to her life. And then her old life is shown to be really dangerous. And so she has to embrace her new life. It's very concise. I mean, I don't want that to breathe anymore. Sure, there could be extra detail, but come on, just get back to Blade.
So maybe it's a performance issue then. Maybe it's not a writing issue. Maybe it's a performance issue. Maybe it's an acting problem.
Yeah, she's not in... You've never seen that actress in anything
I love how quickly you will accept that it's an acting problem and not a problem of story or function. That's good.
It's not.
It's probably true, fine, but, if anything, yeah.
The film needs to be shorter anyway. It's 115 minutes.
Stephen Norrington is my hero. He's the best. He does no wrong. Bloop, 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 bloop. Hey. Don't like my. Why aren't you singing along with my song? Come on, sing along. Bleep, 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 bleep.
I think the times we live in are very stressful. And people want to laugh, you know? They want to enjoy themselves, you know, forget their worries. And things are a little silly.
Hi, is that Dr. Stewart?
Yes.
Hi, Dr. Stewart. It's Blade again.
Yeah. How's it going?
I'm sorry to keep calling. I'm just a little bit concerned because that serum I've been taking, you know the one?
Mm.
The serum that stops me...
Turning...
You know.
Stops the bloodthirst.
Stops the bloodthirst.
As you report, yeah, it stops you wanting to drink human blood.
Yeah. I feel like it might have some side effects.
Right.
And you didn't mention them. So I was just wanted to call to check to see if these are side effects or if maybe not. You could be the judge.
Mm.
Okay.
We're still in the test phase, Mr. Right, Blade. Yeah.
Well, here's a few things, you know, itchy eyelids, bit of constipation, sometimes a little bit of trouble sustaining
erections,
a little bit of trouble, conflicting feelings about my mother, and I don't know if I should say
what you've called now.
It's just when I said conflicting feelings.
Do you want to fuck your mum?
Yeah. Is that one of the side effects of the serum? Because I didn't want to before. Admittedly, I didn't know she was still alive. But I know now. And the problem is, it's not the same as with the humans, because she's actually basically the same. She looks the same age as me. And she said to me that she said, your mother died a long time ago. She said, you know, implying that she, the vampire that is my mother, is actually a different person, not actually my mother. And she was very convincing.
I think this is a philosophical question more than anything. Like, who are we? You know, what is a body? Is your mother the human shell? And also, weren't you a baby when you... How do you even recognise her? You were a baby, right, when she died?
Yeah. It's not like I didn't grow up with her.
So, like, maybe even if she came and said hello to you and didn't say, I'm your mum, and then you had sex with her, and then she went, oh,
I'm your
mum.
How did I recognise her? Oh, I had a photo of her.
Oh,
that's how
okay.
I knew.
Right, you had a photo of her. Okay, so you do... Right, so then that's your mum.
I do
so
know.
So is she the shell, or is your mum... Did she live inside that body and she was a soul? Has that soul departed?
Well, so you said it's a philosophical question. I think it was. I think it was one.
Right.
But...
It's been answered.
Yeah. I did answer it, Doctor. I did.
Yeah.
I did, and actually she has... My concern is a medical one, a genetic concern. I have a genetic concern, because actually she has called since and said... she said that... I don't know if you know that vampires can give birth.
Well, yeah, they give birth to purebloods, the best kind of vampire.
Right, yeah. You've done your lore research, okay.
Well, that's how I came up with the serum. I'm, like, fully deep in the lore.
Oh, of course. Sorry, you know the lore, yeah. Okay. So she said that she thinks she could be up the spout.
Right, preggers.
And I'm a bit concerned, obviously, on a genetic level, that now, okay, philosophically... The time has gone to answer that question, one way or another. But genetically, what do you think? What are the odds here?
Well, I heard about this blood ritual thing, whereby your blood was deemed almost like magic, and added to the 12. You were there, you know, you had the 12 vampire lords, and also with a bit of yours, would bring about. The blood god.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, if your blood's magic, then your jizz is magic. And then, you know, and you're half human, half vampire super jizz mixed with your vampiric mum's vampire egg. Yeah, could create a kind of vampiric Christ figure.
Right.
I've gone over the lore. The human skin vampire Bible. I'm led to believe that you're kind of, you know, super blood, super sperm.
Right.
That connection to your mother. If anything, this is a good thing. If I was like a kind of evil baddie, I would have created this scenario for you to accidentally do this.
Right.
I'm not saying I am that, but if it seemed like I'm coming up trumps.
Got it. No, thanks. Well, that's a big weight off, I think.
What I would do is, because what I know about you and your pal Whistler is you skip town quite a lot.
Yes.
So just skip town.
Just skip town.
She doesn't know your number. Do what men have always done. Leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'll, you know, I'll look after the vampiric baby Christ.
Yeah, and maybe you could just sort of, like, send me the serum by post, and I can Venmo you the cash.
Well, I think there's other ways round the serum thing.
Yeah?
You could...
Is the serum thing not going to be a problem for me in the future? Because I haven't seen Blade 2.
They get round it. They get round it in Blade 2 with just with a better serum. And there's a different problem because you don't want that problem is kind of irrelevant.
Bored of that problem.
It's boring. Yeah. Different problem. Yeah.
I did wonder why I had to keep talking to that hematologist as well. I thought this psycho hematologist. I was a bit after day one when she didn't seem to be perturbed by any of the new things that she'd experienced. I was quite keen to get away from, you know, you can just tell with some people, this one's not one to hang around because what, you know.
Well, yeah, Guillermo doesn't get her back, so don't worry. You won't have to speak to her again either.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
You, if anything, I think I see on the cards a saucy, chaste / sexy relationship with a vampire. Your mortal enemy.
Really?
Yes.
No, you do. You really?
I do.
Is it my mum?
No, even better. Not your mum.
Oh, okay. That's better. Yeah.
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 You won't get to get your end away, though.
Oh.
When was the last time you heard from your father?
Daddy.
Shall we play the box office game?
Would you like to? Do you know the answers?
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure because sometimes when you love a movie like this, you've read everything there is to read, you've listened to everything there is to listen, you've watched everything there is to watch, you've consumed, absorbed, breathed in the data. But it sounds like you haven't in this instance.
Not consciously. It might be in my brain somewhere, but...
Okay. Right. Budget brackets estimated, please, for the film Blade, released 1998. They were making this mother in 1997.
I mean, this is an 18-rated comic book movie. I think it's a bit of a punt. How much are they going to expect to get on the back end?
How much will they stand on this small boat in a Cambridge river?
It's between 40 and 60. I feel like I'll spit the diff and say...
You're going to S the D?
S the D and I'll say 50 milo budgio.
Well, you are within the 10%, my friend. Just within the 10% because it's 45. Oof. Now, interesting thing about the 10%, if you said 40... You would have been an equal number away, but you would have been outside the 10%. That is the nature, the danger, the beauty of the beast.
It's not the beauty. 10%. It just makes a mockery of the rule.
It doesn't, because one of these days you're going to hit it. Now,
I did hit it. I hit it. I just hit it. You said I hit it.
You're going to hit it all three in a row. Three in a row you're going to hit it. Right. Opening weekend, US and Canada, August 23, 1998. It's late summer. We're not worried about Y2K yet. Hasn't been in the news, but it's been hot and sweaty in the summer and in the city. And fans want to get in that air-conditioned movie theater. And they want to eat their popcorn. And they want to drink the barrel of Coca-Cola. And they want to watch Wesley go down on his mad ray.
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's a blimmin' lootly. I think it will do Deese.
Deese McWeese?
Deese, like, 40, I think it will do 15 to 20.
Split the diff,
18 mil.
No, if you're splitting the diff between 15 and 20.
Not exactly. I don't want to exactly
do... Why would you split it exactly?
Well, because 17 and a half. 17 and
well,
a half.
Well, it was 17 and 73,000. So not far from 17 and a half. You're inside the 10%. He's inside the 10%. Now, if you said 18, you would have been inside the 10%. You would have been inside the 10%. Here we go. It was 17.73,000. You've very, very rarely been this close before.
Sweating, guys. Everyone, pause. Look at Joe's face. He has never been scareder. He is.
I've promised that I will end the box office game if you get this correct. Okay? And actually, it's a good functioning feature, and we probably don't want it to end. But I'll stand by my word. Now, gross worldwide.
Well, if the so-called 10x rule applies, it would make 175 million dollars.
Well, no, it would make 170 because it wasn't 17.5. That's what you guessed. It was 17.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mike. Yeah. 17. It would make 170 mil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Expected, if all things considered, which would be, I think it would be a real decent return on Blade. It gets a sequel. I don't think it was a runaway success.
Did it under or overperform the expected, though?
Would it be sweet if I won, if I did a threefer and I played by the 10X? That would be the sweetest victory, I think. The sweetest of sweet victories. Did it underperform to the 10X rule? Not did it underperform, because it's on a 45 million budget. If it makes anything over 100, I think that's a performance. You know, it's performed, it's done well. You know? I don't think an 18 flick performs 10X wise. I think it's at the lower end because of that. It doesn't perform to Joe's rule. So I think it's more closer to the hundies. More like a hundy. Sorry. More in the hundreds. Don't people who say hundy. Stupid. All right. I actually care now. I really want to get this right. Does well enough to get a sequel to spend more money on. I don't think it's a runaway success. And so I feel like the number in my head that's chiming is 120. So I'm going to say 120 mil.
Are you sure you wouldn't like to take that down 1 or 2 mil?
I've said it, so I can't, you know, if I lose, I lose. I played the game, the number chimed. I said the number.
Because if you were to take it down 1 or 2 mil, things could be different.
Yeah, things could be different in that I could lose and you're going, wah, wah, wah. I can't, you know, I've just got to play with a straight bat.
Okay, what are you this saying? You're saying 120.
120.
So the 10% rule would allow a 12 million swing one way or the other.
if that's what you say.
Well, you'll be pleased to hear then that the film took 131 0.2 million.
You said it would happen.
You finally did it. You finally did it. Congratulations.
Blade, the best movie ever made.
It is possible. It's possible to get there within the 10%, the trifecta. We're going to have to make some kind of mural to Blade somewhere to remember that this moment occurred. Will we abandon the box office game? No, of course we won't. That's ridiculous. I'm not getting rid of it. It's a great game. It's the best game. But I will remind you every time in the future now, when you're wrong, and you say that it's not possible to do that, and that it's too hard, and the rules don't apply to you, that you have been successful once before. You've reached the peak of Mount Olympus before, Adam, and you bathed in the sunshine atop the clouds. You drank from the pool of great warriors, and you sucked on vampire mother's nipples a little bit of blood milk for your tea.
Turn around! make a circle.
There you go. So how does it feel? Feels good?
Yeah.
Was it everything you hoped for?
No, it's like it's more about your reaction isn't quite what I hoped. I was expecting more.
What do you want me to...
It was fun. The journey was... it was nice to see you try to get me off 120.
Yeah. I wanted you to lose. I was trying to push you down. But you didn't,
take the bait.
You didn't take the bait. Well, how do you want me to react? Do you want some more from me? You want more like a... Oh, wow.
Just be... A bit more like, wow.
The thing is, I'm sort of wearing a dressing gown, you know. And it's...
also, I feel like you also preceded the... You've like seeded enough doubt in the audience's mind, like, did you know? I think you'll know these numbers. And now, like, it feels a bit tainted as well.
Oh, it feels hollow because you think people listening will think that you did actually know. Not that you knew and you lied about it, but that maybe because it's... one of your favorite films that you probably did read it at some point and then you kind of forgot it and your subconscious grabbed for it and you haven't done anything knowingly wrong, intentionally wrong, but that's sort of, you know, kind of a little bit like less of a success or an achievement than it would have been if we didn't believe that you'd read something about it before. Is that what you mean?
Let's move on. It's a great day. I got to rewatch two Blake Bloody Bloodies and I'm on life.
It's a day that will be enshrined in the memory of the lore of Movies You Forgot, You Forgot. If you are in the Movies You Forgot, You Forgot Discord channel, leave a heart for Adam Richman's tribulations. Yeah?
You just, you know, just say Blade to each other. Blade. A blade is never late, young Frodo. A blade arrives exactly when he intends to.
Fly, you fools. I'm going to my scabbard.
None shall blade. None shall blade.
None shall blade. Oh, you know, I'm 111 blades old. Oh, Blade. Yes.
What have they done with the blades? That's like, what have they done with the little one?
I made a promise, Mr. Blade. I made a promise.
Here we go.
And
I
always said I'll fulfill my promise to you, Mr. Blade. Do you know what Blade needs, really? Blade needs a little Samwise Gamgee, doesn't he? A little Samwise Gamgee. You know? Someone to lift him to the top of Mount Doom.
What's that, Gandalf? Blade, isn't that Elvish? Elvish is something for Elvish.
Gandalf, what's the elven word for blade?
Blade.
There we go. Blade would fit quite neatly into Lord of the Rings, I think, wouldn't he? Imagine if he just showed up at the end and he sliced Sauron up with his blade. You know? Be nice, wouldn't it?
I tell you what, Blade 2 has a lovely inversion. He has to team up with vampires. Because there's a shitter worse of vampire. They're kind of like the crack addicts.
Oh.
And they kind of split down the chin and it opens up at the chin and then this little mouth comes out. Really good effects. Guillermo del Toro.
Don't like that. Don't like that.
Never better. It leans more horror.
Right.
All those little fabrics that you were talking about.
Yeah.
The lore, you know, it builds up all those extra fabrics.
Sure.
Which is nice. I think you'd like, maybe you should give it, maybe too horror-y for you.
Maybe.
But shall we do the bit of the show where one of us reads out a list of movies they forgot with a view to catching out the other one and a movie they forgot so we can pick our next film to watch and chat about?
With a view, I'd love to do that. I think it's your turn, isn't it? Because... whilst I tried to get you last week, you won on Blade. Blade was your default.
So I've looked at the Discord. Get on the Discord, guys. Link in the show notes. I've decided to... I'm just going to pop in... I've popped into the Discord and I've got some pictures.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay. Go on then, hit me.
From listener Discorders. Face, he suggested Valkyrie. I'd love to do Valkyrie.
Valkyrie?
Timothy Cruz.
Oh, my fucking Lord. Valkyrie? That is a deep... That's a deep forget you forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Christ. War. It's Nazis.
Oh, God.
It's Cruz.
It's Plum. It's Plum. And it's quite annoying, actually, because I've been on the Discord recently and I didn't see that. So I wasn't expecting to be plumbed here. Can I hear some more, though? Can I hear some more?
Oh, okay. You can hear some more, sure.
I want to hear some more.
Here's some more. More recently, I thought this was a great shout. Lemon Spy, The Creator.
Yeah, I saw that one. I replied, actually, because I watched The Creator 2 years ago for the first time on streaming, and I thought it was a weird combination of quite good and also quite shit. I have no desire to watch it again, I will say. So whilst I think that is rather a good suggestion as it relates to the world of Plum, I'm just straight up vetoing it for now.
Well, what about, I think this is a great shout, Alfo Paolo from the same director, the Godzilla flick with Bryan Cranston. I'd love to rewatch that.
I never watched it, that one, unfortunately. But I've got the one with Ferris Bueller sort of seared into the back of my eyelids. You know, I watched that so many times as a teenager.
Yeah, bad flick.
I liked it.
I'd really like to do Panic Room, Fincher.
Yeah. I'd rather watch Valkyrie than that. One more, and if you don't get me on the next one, then we'll do Valkyrie.
This is from Nathan. It would be interesting to see how this stands up. Green Zone.
Is that with Leo?
Damon.
That's the Damon one.
The Damon Greengrass.
Christ alive, yeah. I remember.
The Damon Greengrass ain't greener.
I remember it being, yeah, not particularly green. I'd rather watch Valkyrie. Let's do Old War, not New War. New War, these days, is a little too much. You know what I mean? Old War, full of hope.
Old War.
Full of hope.
Old War is... you're on safer ground with Old War. You knew where you stood.
You knew where you stood with Old War. Absolutely. Where do you stand with New War? Well, hopefully not in the Strait of Hormuz. Because if you were standing there, you'd be standing on a boat. And if you were on a boat, you would be on a boat. You know?
On a boat, got me standing on a boat, on a boat, got me in the game. All right, nice one. Thanks for watching Blade.
No worries, mate. What a great guy you are in a normal good film.